very wise soul who I call my spiritual twin sister. Her name is Brooke, and she is the co-owner of Serenity Now in Palm Harbor. And I started working there just doing sessions for people with the work that I was doing at the time with the channeling and the astrology and the cards. And as I got to know her and what she did, which was not ever advertised, but she's very talented. Of course, when we say channel, just so people understand, to channel is to tap into something that goes beyond our traditional thought. And all of us have that ability to channel. It's when we honor that ability and open to it that we receive something new. So when a new invention happens, when a person is writing a beautiful story or song, they always say something came that wasn't in my consciousness at the time. And so when I say channel for myself, for anybody, I am referring to that, but it's also that's what we've been learning, is how to interact with that something that's there, mm-hmm. With a sense of ownership. And when I say a sense of ownership, the angels, and I told Lucy, I said, I hope it's okay if I say that I'm talking to the angels in this session. The angels, what they do is they're telling us that we are all angels, earth angels, baby angels, and their message over the last 6 years with this intensive study that Brooke and I did together with them, by each doing our own individual style and work and then coming together and learning with each other and finding the synchronicities and working with other people doing sessions with this, is that there was a way to think about ourselves, a way to look at life that resonated with the truth inside of us, meaning that feeling. There's something that we've always felt that is there, and wanted to know more deeply. So Brooke and I did a series of this, utilizing the same tools we always use. She uses charts, these wonderful charts that have been channeled in by Christ Consciousness. And I use all of my things. I like to use a lot of techniques. That's why I said I can mm-hmm. be all over the place sometimes, because there's so many ways that we can get the same message.
Right.
So we worked together for 6 years. The way they started with us is I had been channeling. Brooke actually said that she got a message that it would be wonderful if I used my channeling skills to bring in different goddess energies and angels and so forth. So I had been doing that for a while, and then I got a message from the angels that this is the last. They said they'd like me to do a clearing, because we always called it clearings to clarify. This is the last clearing we'll ever need to do. That was 6 years ago.
That's a long time.
We kind of figured when they said it, there was going to be more to it. But here's what was really cool about it, and it makes me so happy when I think of it for all of us. Mm. The quote clearing was to clarify that we are these amazing energetic beings. That's why they said, you know, we're going to say you're angels, because you are. You're baby angels. And one of the ways they explained it is they said, you're miracles by nature, magical by species. Mm-hmm. The only time you don't experience the perfection of your magic, and magic is your thought connection to experience. Mm-hmm. The only time you don't experience the perfection of your magic is when you forget the first part. You are miracles by nature.
So how do they forget the first part, do you think?
That's a wonderful, beautiful question. And it took us a really long time to understand this, because we're like, well, how come we're not feeling very miraculous? And if we're part of you, mm-hmm. then, and how does this work? So it was a very long process, because just like inventing the computer, something you've never done, mm-hmm. it's a lot of work. It's not that hard once you've got the computer system for somebody to use it. So I won't go back through the process, because that was very arduous. But the outcome was that we started to understand that, and they utilized the immortal jellyfish, mm-hmm. which of course they always did everything through synchronicity. So people that we were working with these concepts, all of a sudden started seeing things and hearing things about immortal jellyfish. I had it pop up as my screensaver on my watch. which is really interesting.
So what is the immortal jellyfish?
The immortal jellyfish is, and you can look it up online, it's a jellyfish that reproduces itself two ways. One, through what they call the sexual maturation, where it connects with another. And the other is that it can reduce itself back into polyp, the polyp stage. So it can go from full mature, and I'm just going to utilize angelic being,
mm-hmm.
to the beginning states of consciousness of self.
Hmm.
And so the immortal jellyfish was a great symbology for us to finally get what they were saying, because we're like, how can angelic beings, I'm going to use a derogatory term, I do not feel that we are, be so stupid? Because
right.
We're like, well, why are we so angry and why are we so scared? And that doesn't make any sense. That shouldn't be our experience as angelic beings. And they utilize the concept of infant,
mm-hmm.
and use it throughout. That was their biggest way to help us understand. They said, you know, an infant doesn't know who they are, what they are, and you don't think they're stupid.
But right.
We don't need to use right. that word. We wouldn't use it.
So age becomes the factor. As we get older, we're supposed to know more, and we just have forgotten.
In a sense, the beautiful thing, and I know you wanted me to discuss this more about infinite potentiality, and is that as infinite potentiality beings, meaning beings that are made up of atoms, A-T-O-M, A-D-A-M,
mm-hmm.
We already have everything. Everything is already, in physics understandings, everything is already present for us.
Right.
So we're not trying to mature to gain that knowledge. It was actually what they were saying is we were forgetting everything we knew, reducing ourselves to the polyp stage so that we could have another experience.
Oh, okay. So it's going to be more, if I'm paraphrasing here,
please,
is that you had to go back to the beginning in order to conceive of what it was again.
And so utilizing that concept and in order as an infinite, and when they said we are miracles by nature,
mm-hmm.
you think of miracles as infinite potentiality that's always here for us. It's right. You know, miracles. A miracle is, oh my gosh, it was this and now it's something totally different, right?
Right.
And that's what happens is we can have a completely different experience just by releasing the magical thought that's
mm-hmm.
connecting to whatever it was that we were previously having. And I like to use the analogy of somebody just learning to, you know, becoming a faster runner. You know,
mm-hmm.
even when you look at history, you know, there was a fastest 1 mile that anybody could ever do, and then once that was beaten, everybody could go past it.
Right.
So
right.
it's a mindset,
mm-hmm.
and then when we release the mindset, we experience the miracle, which is the infinite potentiality that we can be. So here we are, if you can imagine, beings of infinite potentiality, how do we become an individual experience? That was what was interesting, is because they changed my concept of the miracle being the infinite potentiality. They go, you guys are the miracle. You actually are able to be an infinite potentiality being having a finite experience. And the only way you can do that is to forget first that you're infinite.
So you have to forget who you are in yeah. order to experience it.
Yes, and we already have that analogy through babies.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting here going, oh my gosh, this little baby doesn't have any idea who they are. Yet I know they have everything within them
to
be
become.
Who they are.
Right.
So,
right.
And the baby takes a while to understand that, right?
Right.
So it's the same analogy. We're little baby angels.
Mm-hmm.
And we're adorable and cute and wonderful and infallible in their mind.
Until they start saying no.
Yeah, well, and you know, and here's the thing. Yeah, well, and that's where the difference is. Because the I'm going to call it the man mind, the
mm-hmm.
human mind,
mm-hmm.
what we've thought of as we've separated ourselves from understanding for a temporary time that we're infinite beings, because that was the part of the process. We had to forget, and then we remember who we are, but we remember who we are that we are infinite potential beings here for a finite experience. And remembering that is what makes it fun. If you're an infinite potential being, meaning that you're everything. Infinite potential just means you're everything all the time.
So if I was going to expand on that a little
bit,
and I said, you know, that we're all musicians then.
Mm-hmm.
We all can sing. We can play a musical instrument, technically. We're all artists. Because
mm-hmm.
one of the things that is very interesting is that somebody can have a stroke. And when they recover from the stroke, there's a part of their brain that may all of a sudden light up, and now they're an artist.
Ooh,
or they're
yes.
a musician.
Yeah.
And so it's all there
yeah.
for them to experience, but it took the stroke in order to open that possibility for themselves.
Yes. That's
so
a beautiful,
that is...
beautiful way to say it. And let's say it's all here.
Mm-hmm.
It's always here for us. And they
mm-hmm.
utilize, we use terms in a way that lets them have multiple meanings.
Right.
So one of the things that, and what it does is it allows our mind to start to see ourselves clearly. So we say we are infinite, we're the infinite potentiality that is always here for us. Because if you think of infinite potentiality, it's always here. It can't not be there. There's no like not there. but it's always a different experience. So it's always here for us. And once we open our mind to a different experience, we have a different experience.
So somebody who says, I'm not a mechanic, in reality, they are a mechanic. They could fix their car if they wanted to.
Yes.
But they've chosen to say, no, that's not my skill. My skill is over here. But in reality, all of it is our skills.
And here's what I love about that. The fact that they said no. Remember when you said when
mm-hmm.
the two-year-old says no,
mm-hmm.
or when the grown-up says no to them, the no is the individualization. It's
right.
the saying, no, I don't want to be a mechanic. And now we start to feel different about ourselves. I can't fix a car with anything. Why? Because I don't want to.
I don't want to.
Yeah. And we start
right.
to get to own that because
mm-hmm.
If we were coming from a thought
mm-hmm.
that infinite potentiality could be lack,
mm-hmm.
which is what we were coming from,
mm-hmm.
because at first we had to forget who we were.
Right.
So it was lack. It's like, I'm missing something.
I don't know who I am.
I don't know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very terrifying experience. We've seen it in infants, separation anxiety.
Right.
I knew that I was okay, and now I know that something's different.
Right. My mom's not here. My dad's not here.
I'm not everything.
Right.
I have an individualization. What does that mean?
Right.
So we have a little bit of separation anxiety.
Right.
And then we realize who we are, just like a child does, and that we're cared for, and that's why the angels are like, they're in every culture.
Mm-hmm.
They're never not here. We call them goddess gods, saints. You know, they come. It's you, Lucy. You're an angel. And when I let you be the angel that you are, I experience that.
Right.
You're the infinite potential being. You're the miracle that is always present, right? That is your nature. And I experience the magic of who you are by your own individual preferences.
Okay, so I'm going to stretch that a little bit further and see
Please.
If I'm heading in the correct direction. So if we took a culture, a country that based upon their maybe religious beliefs or their cultural interpretation of who they are, it could be a culture that was highly restrictive. So the individuals within that culture
mm-hmm.
never get to experience their angelic being, because they're being told from a very early age by the culture, no, this is who you are. And so they believe that that's who they are rather than experiencing the angelic qualities that they are everything.
Right. So, okay, now this is where it gets, deep. This is
All
where
right.
we go in.
All right. We're diving
because,
into the deep end.
Because, you know, that is my expertise. If
mm-hmm.
I were going to, well, I will claim that as my expertise. Mm-hmm. That is the thing that I love and have done, is I wanted to understand, how do we connect to this infinite potentiality that we are as a thought process?
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about, okay, so if there's this thought, how do you have a different thought?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is
right.
that, you're saying, if I'm in this culture, how do I have a different thought of myself?
Right.
So what the angels, again, said, we are miracles by nature, meaning we are already perfect. We already have everything.
We have
magical
everything.
By species, which means our thoughts are going to connect to our experience.
Right.
Well, we came in as the miracles and the connection. So the thought, when it came, and it wasn't, nobody thinks I want to have restrictions or I want to have a challenge, but we all are coming in with the idea that we're going to stop knowing who we are, and it's going to look different.
Right. We have forgotten.
Yeah. And it's going to look different.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that in anybody's circumstance that there's a lack because it looks different.
Right.
Is not to honor the totality of who they are. And in every culture, in every family, in every circumstance, for each individual, when we open to the miracles that we are and have a new experience, it's because we said, no, I'm not defined by my previous thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't think, oh, this came from outside and it's because people think this about me that I have this. When we work with this, we go, that's irrelevant. I'm an infinite potential being. However I came to the experience I'm having now, I don't have to assign it outside of myself, because then I've lost my connection to the truth of who I am. I don't have to worry about why I thought this. I don't have to change that the outside or anything. I get to change inside by going, I simply don't have to buy into it.
And then in order to get to that part of I don't have to buy into it, there has to be a little bit of an awakening of who I am, because if I can have the thought that says I don't buy into this belief, then I've also had the thought of I don't have to be part of this culture. I don't have to be part of this belief system. I can step outside of it.
And I don't even have to. And a lot of times when we've worked with people, we've had the greatest results that you don't even have to leave the situation. In fact, we don't even recommend it unless it's something, of course, that's abusive.
Right.
You know, because there's no reason to even interact with that.
Right.
But if it's a situation where you just feel like there's a limitation that doesn't feel right to you, we work with you, we meaning the angels and also Broken Eye, because we tandem sometimes with people in working with this. And what we do is we help you to go, why would I have the thought that this experience is going to keep happening?
Right.
So if you think of Nelson Mandela, he thought this is not who we are.
Right.
If you thought this is who we are and he believed it and he thought it was from the outside, that he couldn't change it from the inside, he wouldn't have had the experience he did where he was able to break free.
Right. I think almost all of our Nobel Peace Prize winners have been there, you know, in something that was restrictive and they went, no, that's not who we are as beings. And they were showing the way, you know, that we can be outside of that kind of belief system.
Yes. And the thought is what makes the difference.
The
actions are not as important as the thought.
Right.
So, for instance, if I give a person $1,000 because I feel sorry for them and I think that their life is a poor life, that they need this money because they are missing something, they're lacking.
Right.
Then I have engaged in the thought of lack.
And you're keeping them in that place of lack.
That's how that's my focus on them. So that's my experience of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my focus inside of myself. So that's my experience.
Right.
So it changes our responsibility to others from a thought that we need to do something for them or about them. To a thought that we need to see the truth in them,
right,
and then interact. I can still give them $1,000 because I believe in them,
right,
and I'm having a great time watching them blossom.
Right, right. So they have the opportunity to make those internal thought changes, which make the external world different for them to them.
Yeah, and you give it to yourself, and then you receive it from others.
Right.
And when I say you give it to yourself, I could be saying, I'd like to give that person $1,000 because I know how wonderful they are. And they could actually take that $1,000 and rip it up into little pieces or do whatever they want with it, right? But I'm going to have a great experience of them.
Sunday morning on CBS, every Sunday morning, they have different little excerpts, little, you know, short shows, if you will, every 10 minutes or so. And, you know, as a perfect example of what you're talking about here, there was a homeless man that found a $10,000 check and it belonged to a realtor. She had been homeless at one time in her life. And so when he returned it to her, you know, because it wasn't his check, so he gave it back to her. She offered him a reward, but she also put him into an apartment and paid his rent for about 7 months, put him into real estate school with her, and they now have a team approach to helping young women get their lives back on track that have been in abusive relationships or have lost everything. And so, you know, he's able to turn his life around by doing something that, you know, this check doesn't belong to me, but it was just that synchronicity, if you will, the serendipity, yes, of their relationship that now has changed both of their lives and the lives of so many people that they're encountering.
Yes. And if you take that beautiful story, which is a perfect example, and it feels good,
mm-hmm,
because they both came from what I call the infinite potentiality that's always here for us.
Right.
Meaning, he was able to say, I believe that the world is meant to be wonderful for us, so why wouldn't I interact by bringing this person a check?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, you know, she doesn't deserve it or blah, blah, blah. He saw the angelic beingness.
Right.
And we might not have termed it that way, or infinite potential, but that's what we've been asked by the angels to start honoring in our sight ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because just to see yourself clearly is to think thoughts that you can resonate with, because
right,
we can only resonate as the truth. We're not going to ever, and you know, like if you're lying or if you know somebody's lying, you don't feel comfortable.
Right.
So what they did is they used the analogy of comfort, and comfort not the kind where you mentally try and make yourself feel better, but comfort where it just is a natural, like, oh yeah, okay, I don't feel in conflict with this.
Mm-hmm.
Comes from the recognition and stating the truth of who we are, infinite potentiality that's always here for us as an individualized
mm-hmm.
experience
mm-hmm.
for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so here they looked at each other and they said, I see you as somebody, as she said, I see you as somebody that has all this infinite potential, enough, obviously, that she partnered with him.
Right.
So
right.
She did see him that way. She did not see him as a poor stranger.
Right, that she needed to help.
Yeah.
But one that she could partner with because they resonated energetically the
and
same
because
way.
It was and it was them coming together. And it could have been that, you know, she gave him the reward, and it would have been perfect too if they weren't to be
mm-hmm.
together.
Mm-hmm.
But because they did, they showed that interaction.
Right.
And one of the things that I know you asked me to bring up during the session,
mm-hmm.
I think this is a good time, is how they utilized the contrast between the Freud, id, ego, and superego
mm-hmm.
to how the angels asked us to
right.
look at it.
Right,
is
right.
This,
yeah, this is a good time to do that.
Okay, so what I do is I sit with them. I've sat with them for hours and days and days and days. I mean, the last 6 years have been very intense. And then Brooke and I get together, and then we get together with the people that have come in to learn this as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they will correct me. I'll utilize cards as
mm-hmm.
well, so it takes it outside of my mind. And they really focus, and they'll bring in new concepts and new ideas, and then they'll work with me to integrate it. And one of them was, they said to look up what the id, ego, and superego means. We've all heard about it, but they wanted me to really understand the concept of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked up the id. And the id is a sense, and I'm just paraphrasing, but the id is a sense that we have an entitlement. I want this, so I should have it, and I'm going to take it,
mm-hmm,
right? It's
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like an infant mentality.
Right.
Beautiful way to understand what has been an interaction. I think Freud, you know, channeled
mm-hmm.
what was happening in mankind.
Right.
And then the ego was, I want this. I don't have it. It's still coming from a sense of lack, right? How do I get this in a way that's going to work with others so I don't get put in prison or attacked back? Or, you know, so it becomes conscious of sort of the laws of mankind.
So that might be the person that works really, really hard to get where he wants to or she wants to in life.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
exactly. They said, I'm going to work hard because if I work hard, I'll get this.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is the superego, is the way I understood it when I looked it up, is the part of the self that says, but you know, I really actually don't just want to get what I want to get. I want to actually feel good about it. I want to enjoy the feeling of connection with others.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to describe for you what angels call others. Others is anything that you think about, because your thought is what creates the other experience. So we are infinite potential, so the thought creates the other experience, which then becomes the reflection that we experience. So I'm going to give you an example. My body is an other. This experience I'm having with you is an other. You, of course, are an other. So other.
So trees are others,
yeah.
Plants of any kind are others,
yes,
animals are others.
And how we think about the other,
okay,
is how we experience it.
Okay.
So in this analogy that Freud had, you know, the way he related how to think about it, id, ego, superego, was all about how you're interacting with the other.
Mm-hmm.
So then the angel said, why don't you look at this from the perspective that we've been sharing with you, your miracles by nature, your infinite potential that's always here for you. So as a, and they call it the infinite potential. And one of our great people that we've worked with on this, she nicknamed it the IP.
Oh.
So when I told her the, you know, the id, the ego, and the superego, and then I said, and they said, instead of coming from the id, which is that I want something, but there's lack, you come from the infinite potential. I want something because why wouldn't I? Everything's here for me.
Right. It's like going into a candy store and you get to choose whatever you want.
100%. It's the difference between looking in an ice cream shop and thinking, ooh, what flavor am I going to have, which is the IP, or looking in an ice cream shop and saying, I don't know if I get to have this. Totally different experience. Or worse yet, I don't get to have that. That's not fun at all. It'll make me fat. It's too much money. People will judge me for having a good life. I mean, all of these things.
Right.
Anything that is not true has infinite possibilities that you can think it. The truth, even though you have infinite potentiality, there's only one truth. So it's a very clear, the truth is there's infinite potential.
Right.
That's the atom. That's, you know, and they have it now where they're showing that it goes down to quarks and, you know, and how we interact with it. And you have a wonderful example that you gave with the rice. And I don't know if it's a good time for you to share that, but I thought that was brilliant.
Well, we've talked about it, I think, a little bit in the past, but it's Dr. Emoto's test that he did, and he worked with crystals. And he also did, you know, because not everybody is going to have the ability to see how a crystal changes when you send different thoughts to it. So he tried it with just plain white rice. And he had three bowls, and with one bowl of the rice, you put them several feet apart so that they don't pick up on the vibrational words that you're going to be saying. But with one bowl, you direct nothing but negative statements to it, you know, like you make me fat, I hate you, you know, but things that are very, very detrimental in nature, word-wise. And then the second bowl, you neglect. You put it someplace where you just ignore it. And how many people are in situations where they're basically ignored or neglected? And then the third bowl of rice, you actually put nothing but loving thoughts towards. So every time you pass it, you might say, you know, I love your color. I love the way you make this dish work for me. And so you're constantly sending positive vibrational thoughts to that bowl. What does happen is the one you've directed negative thoughts toward, within a short period of time, it will begin to mold and it'll deteriorate. The one that you neglected in a longer period of time will do the same thing. It will begin to deteriorate and turn moldy. But the one you've directed only positive, loving messages to will maintain its pure white quality. It will not deteriorate. And for anybody who wants to do that test, you know, it might be kind of a fun way of understanding, because we are comprised of, I think it's 70% water in our body. And So for us, every time we are directing negative thoughts towards ourselves, you know, we're not measuring up, we're not good enough, other people have more, whatever the thought might be, we're basically vibrating internally with that same resonance. And so we're destroying ourselves on an internal level, much in the same way that we can see it with rice. With rice, we're directing the thought, which is a vibration, to the rice, and then it either deteriorates or it maintains. So it's kind of a choice that we have. Do we want to just maintain, or do we want to grow, you know, as individuals?
And that right there is such a wonderful way to understand this process. So you have the id, the ego, the mm-hmm. superego. Mm-hmm. And we've only talked so far about the infinite potential aspect. So now we're going, basically, if you could think of it as a versus, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I also, we utilize the understanding of which foot are you stepping on? If you're going to do a dance move, right, and it's all planned out,
right,
you're going to end up in a different place depending on which foot you step on.
Right.
So it's being conscious of the foot you're stepping on. So the foot you step on, if you want to get to an experience that resonates with mm-hmm. the truth that you are, that feels good, right?
Right.
Then you would step from infinite potential that's always here for you.
Rather than lack.
Yeah, rather mm-hmm. than lack. Because all the words that you were utilizing that were in the negative, right, mm-hmm. was only from the concept of lack. None of those words would be from infinite potential. How could you be stupid if you are everything? How could you be fat if you're everything, right?
Right?
You can have an experience that's based on connecting in your thought, and that's where the next part comes in.
Right.
But it does not mean that's who you are. So we all start as the ip or the id in our minds. We can only be the ip.
Right.
The infinite potential.
You know, another probably really maybe good example here for a good many people is somebody who has been in a situation either with a family member or maybe in a very close relationship where they're given constant negative thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
A great many women and men end up piling on weight as a defense mechanism to keep those negative thoughts out. You know, they end up having an addiction to food or alcohol or something else as just a covering, you know, over the fact that they are damaged in their minds. And so they're trying to pack on something, band-aids of sorts, you know, to prevent that wound from being so open. And so in a way, you know, that's, you know, if we can learn to step with the right foot,
mm-hmm.
we'll begin to shed those addictions as well, because we won't need them anymore. We'll recognize the infinite potential within us.
Yes. Well, and here's the interesting thought with this, is because this concept expands a lot on how we used to think of others.
Mm-hmm.
We used to think of others as something outside of us that we are interacting with.
Mm-hmm.
As infinite potential beings, where everything's always here for us, what the angels are saying is, it's always here for you.
Mm-hmm.
If it's seeming like it's against you,
mm-hmm.
it's because you are learning how to interact differently
mm-hmm.
with your thoughts.
You know, you and I talked about this a little bit before you ever came in today, and I loved, and I think this fits, but I love that image of, you said so many times we're like children holding on to a candy bar.
Yes.
And so we hold on so tightly to it while it's melting, saying, take it away. And so that's kind of the same belief system, is, you know, we have to be able to open our hands and let it drop in order to begin to live that infinite potential. We can't hold on so tightly to a belief that maybe is destroying us.
Right. And wonderful thing to shift in the mind is, we can't be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you gave me permission to kind of
sure,
do some
absolutely.
Fun terminology shifting, because, you know, we're not coming from the id. We're
right.
not coming from there could be lack. We're coming from everything's already always there for us. So we may think we can be destroyed, and we will have that experience.
Right.
But we can't actually be destroyed because we're infinite potential beings.
Do you think that that's part of what happens when somebody is actually making that transition from physical life to spiritual life, is, you know, quite often we see that person just totally relaxing. And I think maybe it's because they are recognizing that, oh my goodness, this isn't all there is. I can move into that transition of death and see that there's so much more.
Well, and yes, what you've done, and all of these examples, the candy bar, you know, the transition, they're all about our minds hold ourselves in a position
mm-hmm.
of experience
mm-hmm.
until we release that position.
Right.
Now, please remember, we're not doing that because there's something wrong with us.
Right. It's just
even if
forgotten.
The experience we're having is horrific, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with us.
Right.
We're going to get to the same conclusion. Sometimes we're going to do it in a very dramatic way. Sometimes it's just going to be an epiphany. There is no wrong. There is no bad.
Mm-hmm.
There is, I'm an infinite potential being, and I'm going to experience my thoughts of
mm-hmm.
myself as my individualized, what we call finite, meaning
mm-hmm.
I don't feel limitless right now. I feel like I'm in this engaged, this focused experience. And whether it's something we enjoy or don't enjoy, to own it is to become empowered with it.
Right.
Not to own it in a blame way of others or yourself. To own it in a way of, all I have to do is stop thinking I need to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about in the situation, I'm talking about in the mind.
Right.
And I can have a different experience of it.
Right.
And they used the concept of Job. They had me look up Job. I purposefully just wanted to see what I could bring from inside all the
mm-hmm.
time. So I only get information from the outside if somebody brings it to me from, you know, because it's a synchronistic experience where the angels say, look this up.
Right.
So they said, look up Job. I'm like, okay. And I looked up Job. And Job was this guy in the Bible that was having a wonderful experience. I just looked it up on the internet, so
mm-hmm.
you know, hopefully I'm doing this right. But was having a wonderful experience with life, great fortune, felt loved by God. God, you know, loved God. Everything was good. And then the devil came and said, well, he's only happy because everything's working out for him. What if it didn't work out for him?
Right. Let's give him a different experience.
Let's give him a different experience. And it progresses through this whole thing where you're like, oh, gosh, why is this happening to Job? This is horrible. And when I was reading it, I'm like, the devil is his thought. And because they've been telling us this from the start. They're
right.
like, the idea of the devil and the idea of hell
mm-hmm.
is just the id of the infinite potential. It is heaven is infinite potential that's always here for us.
Uh-huh.
And God, right, is the thought that's always here for us. And the devil, what we called the devil, was the thought that we could have it against us, the thought that we could have it where we could be bad. You know, I don't believe that there's a devil. I think the devil is just a thought that we're the id,
mm-hmm.
not to feel bad about, because again, we had to forget who we were for a moment.
Right.
So that we could get into finite experience. It's a very, and again, I know we've talked about this. My concept of all this is very expansive.
Mm-hmm.
So to have the you know, interaction with the day to day takes a bit of time. We've worked really hard to do it. But to explain it, we do have to open up to that expansiveness.
Right.
And that's why they said, please tell them there's angels, they're angels, we're earth angels, they're here for us all the time. Just like Job, he understood that he had to stop thinking
mm-hmm.
that there was something wrong.
Let's, I think this maybe is a good time to bring up this analogy too. Because you and I talked about the fact that a turtle, his life isn't the sand. In order to get to his life, which is the water,
yes.
he has to cross the sand. So maybe
yeah.
you can expand on that, because I loved that example.
Thank you. We work to do so many, you
mm-hmm.
know, because we're constantly having to say, how do we take the infinite potential that we are and put it into a finite experience, right?
Right, right.
And the turtle was another one they gave me. And the turtle was, it was the concept that the turtle was birthed. The mother turtle came out of the sea,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is its natural habitat,
mm-hmm.
birthed it into the sand for whatever reason. I think this is all ways that we understand how we've been developing. It's birthed into the sand, and then it has to, and it knows there's something that it has to get to, and it goes across this foreign,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
to a large degree foreign environment to get to its natural environment. But it didn't take away from the fact that it was from the natural environment, and it didn't take away from the fact that it was the same species
mm-hmm.
as the mother turtle.
Mm-hmm.
It's just its process. And so our process was to at first believe we were the id.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot to this. I mean, I could go on all of these things in history and how it works and how we keep rebirthing ourselves. And it's beautiful.
Well, you'll probably do that in the future.
Yeah.
But isn't this a little bit like when we're conceived?
Yes.
You know, we have to stay in the uterus for a certain amount of time, just like the turtle has to stay in the sand. We have to cross the birth canal
mm-hmm.
in order to be born. They
yeah.
cross the sand. And then they get to be in their element in the water, and we get to be in our element in the world.
Yes. As infinite potential beings,
mm-hmm.
it's always here for us.
Mm-hmm.
And the process of us becoming aware as baby angels is
mm-hmm.
is exactly like the process of us becoming aware as baby people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and in fact, they even gave me a way to think of ourselves that is exactly the same way we would think of a child,
mm-hmm.
but not for some reason, but because we were still in the process of knowing who we would only assign it to a child. And that is, they would say, think of yourselves as infinite potential, eternal perfection,
mm-hmm.
eternal meaning at every moment your perfection is there and you can experience it. You don't have to get somewhere for it.
Right.
And innate worth. Now, if we look at a baby, we give them infinite potential. We don't say, you can't even roll over. You're never going to be able to drive a car. it's not a conversation we have.
No.
And as baby angels, we wouldn't think, oh, you are having all of these horrific experiences and you've been totally self-destructive. There's no way you're a baby angel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course you are. That's
right.
That's part of your infinite potential, is you're learning, just like a baby learns that its hand is what's is a tool,
mm-hmm.
is to be used. It hits itself a lot of time or scratch, and it feels its pain and says, oh my gosh, this is me.
Right.
I am doing this. So our thoughts, we're learning, oh, our thoughts are connecting. So we're infinite potential. And with a baby, you don't say, you know, you're not crawling yet. You're not perfect.
Right.
We give them eternal perfection. You're perfect when you're crawling. You're perfect when you're walking. You're perfect when you're learning to ride your bike.
Right.
We love that we can give them that because it resonates with the truth that we are.
Right.
And then the innate worth, they did this. I actually wrote a whole thing on it when we first started, because they started with us understanding innate worth, because we didn't even think that we could own our worth because somehow we were doing something wrong. You know,
mm-hmm.
oh, how conceited to own your worth.
Right.
And they're like, you give it to babies. You do it because you know that's how they'll grow.
Right.
So what they said is, so tell me, what part of innate worth are you supposed to get from outside?
Yeah.
Utilizing definition
right.
helps us understand what we're communicating to ourselves.
True.
So we give children, babies, innate worth, infinite potential, eternal perfection. I said, give it to ourselves.
Did you see the Star Wars movie where she has to go down into this like cave and she's standing in front of a mirror? Did you happen to notice?
I don't remember that one. Go
okay.
ahead.
Well, one of the things that you're talking about right now is that she looks one direction and she sees herself into infinity.
Oh, yes.
And then she looks the other direction and she sees herself into infinity. And so, you know, a lot of what you're talking about right now is that all of those things that we are, the perfection, the innate worth, everything,
mm-hmm.
is who we are into infinity.
And
either direction.
Yes, thank
yeah.
you. It is, and when we apply it to
right.
what we thought of ourselves or others in
right.
the past, we have a different experience of the present.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
of the future.
Right. Because
we've
she
opened ourselves to see something different.
Right. And I think that's part of what the movie was supposed to do at some level, was to help people begin to understand that we are unlimited. We go in either direction as far as the eye can see, because it's the human eye that's seeing, but in reality it's unlimited.
Yes. And interestingly enough, Star Trek, if you go back and watch it was on an Ancient Aliens, I think, episode, they were talking about how Star Trek was developed when a being came in and said, I am from, you know, I'm the, and he called himself, I think, Thor Valiant. I am from the larger universe, right?
Mm-hmm,
and we
mm-hmm.
were watching over you, an angel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They've called themselves different names, but and actually met with the UN and Theodore Roosevelt. His granddaughter talked about it in different things. Yes. So and then after that, a group of thinkers got together
mm-hmm.
and started working with channelers.
Right.
And there's so much to it. You'll have to watch the episode if you ever get a chance. But that's how Star Trek was developed, because Gene Roddenberry was there talking to the channelers and the, you know, with that think group, and they were learning who we really are.
You know, last night was the first night that they had, no way, it wasn't last night, it was Monday night, it was the first night that they had the Blue Book on the History Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all about aliens and what things that have been here forever, you know, helping mankind. But, you know,
and
it's
here's
been.
And here's a great thing to do with alien, the thought of alien, because the angels really worked with this. They said, if you live in Indiana, it doesn't
mm-hmm.
mean that you don't live in the United States.
Correct.
If you live in the United States, it doesn't mean that you don't live in North America.
Right.
If you live in North America, it doesn't mean you don't live on Earth. If you live on Earth, it doesn't mean you don't live in the solar system.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in the solar system, it doesn't mean you don't live in the galaxy. If you live in the galaxy, it doesn't mean you don't live in the universe. They said you are universal beings.
Right. And that is a beautiful way of looking at it.
Thank you. And I loved it, because what they're saying is we can never not be the infinite potential we always are, and within it, and have it within us, and interact with it as
mm-hmm.
all beings.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything that is, quote, foreign to us,
right,
we think of as alien, meaning we don't understand it. But
right.
that doesn't mean it's not who we are.
Exactly. And then when you get those kinds of aha moments, you know, when you go, oh, one of the things that I think a lot of people experience, I know I do, I know you have, but it's like the hair stands up on your arms.
Yes, the chill.
And so it's that psychic chill that says, ah, this is part of truth.
Yes. I resonate with this is
mm-hmm.
what you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's a visceral, like I resonate
right.
with this. This is, and even inside of ourselves, and they call it comfort.
Mm-hmm.
So they say if you experience any discomfort in any of your thoughts, it's because you're forgetting the first part of who you are, which is the infinite potential that's always here for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it can never be against you. You can never fail. You can never be bad. You can decide what you like and don't like. Judgment is not about good or bad, because how can infinite potential be bad? It's
right.
about that you're judging whether you like experiencing your thought.
Right.
You can be giving somebody $1,000, and if you're thinking that it's because there's lack, you're not going to enjoy your experience.
Right.
Even
right.
if you're thinking, oh, I'm trying to help this poor person, you're not going to enjoy your experience because it's coming from lack. And you're not going to enjoy it because it doesn't resonate with the truth you are.
Right.
Not because it's bad that you did it. So it's a really nice thing, and I want to make sure, before we finish, that we go back and finish, because they actually did a correlation, just like they did the id and the ip.
Mm-hmm.
So they did the id, which is the thought that, you know, of course, and it's coming from the truth. Of course I deserve to have whatever I want, but
mm-hmm.
I don't have to take it
mm-hmm.
because there's no lack. So in the id, there's a thought that could be lack, which you just let go of.
Right.
And in the ip, the infinite potential that's always here for us, we go, okay, so then how do I interact?
Right.
That's a very important part, right? In the id, you learn the ego tells me how to interact. And so with the ip, it's the what they call, they worked with me for a while to get this, the engaged mind.
So explain that.
E-N-G-A-G-E-D, which I love because, and we won't talk about it now, but I do a lot with emotion
mm-hmm.
and what that is and how to work with the thoughts. And that's the feminine and masculine, and engagement is the romance, the beauty, right? The love.
Oh, okay.
Which, by the way, also to make sure I state this, they equate the word love,
mm-hmm.
the word truth, the word beauty, and the word feeling, all as meaning the same thing. Love, truth, beauty, feeling.
So how does that work?
All infinite potentiality that's always here for you.
Okay, so kind of go into, like, break that down a little bit.
Okay, and then we'll make sure we finish the last part. Love is something that feels comforting.
Mm-hmm.
And And
so like tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwiches.
Yeah, that's something we like. Now, if we ate tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwiches because we felt like we had to have it to make ourselves feel better because the world was so rough.
Right.
We would
right.
not feel comfort in it.
Right.
So comfort is one thing. There's only one thing that brings comfort, that brings is love, that is that feeling of comfort, right? So when mm-hmm. I say feeling, we use emotion as different than feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So that feeling is that we're infinite potential and it's always here for us. Mm-hmm. That is the only thing they said, that is the only way you will ever look at life
mm-hmm.
in a way that you will feel an instant, okay, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just the truth of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say it's truth, it's truth. And we say it's beauty, it is what we really think of as beauty. Whenever you look at the world with those eyes, you see the beauty of everything.
Right.
So it is what beauty is. Our definition of beauty is not what is the truth of it.
Right.
Same thing with love. What we've thought of as love, sacrificing for another, is not seeing the infinite potential. That's why it never felt right. We might want to do it because we, quote, love them, but that's not love. And so we've reoriented what we think love is. Love is infinite potentiality for everyone. So you're looking at somebody and you're saying, I'm going to do this because I want to, not because you're weak or I think you're lacking.
Right.
So we come from this aspect, and that's the infinite potentiality that's always here for us, the IP. And then instead of the ego, what they utilize is engaged mind. Because now I'm taking not responsibility for creating something, it's already here. I'm taking responsibility for how I'm thinking about it. So engaged mind is focused mind. So if I'm looking at one aspect of a person, I work a lot with people to utilize these concepts in, and I always, you notice how I keep using concept?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm talking about is conceiving our experience.
Right.
So it's
constant birthing.
Yes, it's a constant.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm working with somebody on a relationship, when we're looking at it, we look at it from how they are thinking about that person. And you know, you can have one experience with one person, walk over to another person, and you can feel different about yourself. And in fact, I always say, you don't look for the person to be in a relationship with that you like their qualities. You look for the person that you like how you feel about them or yourself when you're with them.
Right.
Because
right.
then you're in the truth with them.
Right.
So because it's all about being true to ourselves.
And not having to be a certain way in order to be accepted, which I find in my own counseling that I've done over many, many years, that was where the problem was, is they felt like they had to be this in order to be in this relationship.
And that's only because they came from id,
mm-hmm.
and then we're
exactly.
trying to figure it out through ego.
Right.
If you come from ip and you figure out through engaged mind, then you say, why would I engage in this thought with this person?
Right.
Why wouldn't I go back to infinite potentiality that's always here for me? So I'm having an interaction, but I don't have to be defined by it.
Right.
And
right.
I don't have to define what I'm going to experience in them. As soon as we let go, and that's the candy bar, we're going back to it.
Yeah.
As you know, I'm very stream of consciousness. But the candy bar came from this series of videos on the YouTube that are hilarious, with all these toddlers screaming at their parents to do something that the parents are doing for them, but the toddler's not receiving it. And I don't want to eat a banana. And the parent's like, I'm not giving you a banana. I hate bananas. I'm not giving you a banana. And the angels gave me the analogy of my favorite chocolate, which is Reese's peanut butter cups.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know, picture if you're holding a Reese's peanut butter cup and it's melting and you're screaming, take this out of my hand. It's melting. I can't stand it. And we're saying you have to open your hand.
Right.
And I'm screaming, I can't. You got to take it. And they're like, we can't take it. You're not opening it. That's how it works,
mm-hmm.
because we are infinite potential beings that are experiencing our thought. They can't take away our thought.
Right, unless you open and let it go.
Because there's no reason to, because
yeah.
we're already perfect. There's nothing
right.
wrong with it. The parent doesn't think the child has failed because they're not opening their hand. They actually think it's kind of cute and funny. And they're here as soon as we open our hand
right.
to assist us. And it's always, they're always here. They're never gone.
Right. So you would sort of imagine that once the child opens their hand and there's this mess of peanut butter and chocolate, that the angel would come and wipe it clean.
Of course.
And just say, okay, now your hand's all good.
It was never not that
it
way.
It was never not that way, but now you can look at it.
Yeah, like we were never not angels.
Right.
So then, so real quickly to finish the engaged mind,
mm-hmm.
and then the superego is the multidimensional mind.
Right.
So how do we feel that not only are we interacting with the world through the engaged mind, and that's how we're having our experience of the infinite potentiality that's always there for us,
mm-hmm.
we remember that we're multidimensional, that we don't have to focus just on one aspect of a person, because that person is multidimensional. So they can be, at one time they were the person that felt like they were restricting us, and we say, why do I have to be restricted? Why do I have to think of them as the person who's telling me I can't do this? Why not open to the fact that they can be a different experience, or are they not my experience at all? But a lot of times, right. 99% of the time, and actually every time, the person's truly said, I'm not going to see that person that way. They're a different person.
Right, right.
So that is the alternative to the beautiful understanding that we had at one time, which was the id, the ego, and the superego that helped us grow, but now is evolving into the if, the engaged mind, and the multidimensional mind. So that's what they did with it.
This is a very complicated process. I'm hoping that everybody out there is just super excited about what they have heard today. I know that at the beginning of this recording, unfortunately, there were a little bit of a few issues here with the recording itself. And then we got everything straightened out. So I'm sure that... people have been enjoying the conversation that Tess and I have been having. I would like for you to explain again how they can find you.
Okay.
And it's because I think some of that did not make it through.
Okay.
In the very beginning.
So Brooke is I call her my spiritual twin sister. She is the co-owner of Serenity Now Books and Gifts in Palm Harbor. And it's on Tampa Road next to Mystic Fish, which is one of our favorite places.
Mm-hmm.
So you can call 727-787-5400 to reach Serenity Now. They know when I have some availability, and they also can give my phone number out if somebody's needing an alternative time or a different question. So that would be Serenity Now, booksandgifts.com also is how you can go and find the website.
And if people haven't been to Serenity Now before and you're in the Tampa Bay area, it is an absolutely amazing shop. I think Brooke has been there 14 years.
She opened it with her partner in the business, John,
mm-hmm.
and has created a space that is so sacred. You can't explain it. You have to experience it.
You have to experience it, because the minute you walk in the door, you will feel the energy, and it's not like anything you've probably ever experienced before. I've known Brooke for the whole time that she's had the shop, and am a regular over there. So I hope people will go and find Tess and find Brooke and enjoy the shop. Next Thursday, the gal that I was planning on having, I just got a text from her before the show started, and she's lost her voice. She's been in San Diego at a conference. And so I'm going to ask Trey, since he was not able to make the show last week, to take her place. And so hopefully we'll have Trey Malicote back with us next Thursday morning. And I hope that everybody has an absolutely wonderful remainder of their day. And please make this your best life. Thank you so much for joining us.